May the Lord's peace and his gift of faith and knowledge be with you this morning. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Jesus' words today give us comfort. Comfort for our souls, comfort for our hearts, but comfort for living in this world and living beyond. It happened one day that the Sadducees opposed Jesus. They were a powerful group, wealthy and influential in Jerusalem, most of them the priestly class. They were used to having their own way. And they had strict ideals, the first of which was a literal biblical interpretation. If the scripture said an eye for an eye, then that is the punishment that should be enacted under their rule. They were unlike their opposition, the Pharisees, who devised a moral code, an interpretation based on the scriptures and went from that. The hope for us comes when they try to humiliate Jesus and they propose this preposterous situation in a marriage. According to their little story, there was this widow. Now, according to the Levirate law given by Moses, there were responsibilities that a family had to a brother who died, to care for his family. A brother was responsible for his dead brother's widow. And so in their little story, if seven brothers all died, each one of them having married this woman to take care of her, whose wife would she be when they were resurrected in the life to come? God established this law of the Levirate marriage in the book of Deuteronomy through his servant, the prophet Moses, to ensure his commitment to all the people. That if a man died, his name and his allotted ground in the promised land wouldn't die out with him, because God had promised through Abraham that the land would belong to his children and to his family. And so in that situation, when a man died, his brother would carry on his name and would seek to give him a son to inherit that land and that name. But most importantly, the promise that God had made. Now, God was committed to his people. He wanted the families to keep going as children of the promise that he had made to their ancestors. The Sadducees, on the other hand, are out to prove a point. It says that they don't believe in resurrection. They live a good life, and they teach people how to do that, but after that, when you die, that's it. They had compromised with popular ideas in the world at their time. You think, how could that happen? I mean, these people knew the scriptures, the same Bible that we read, the Old Testament part. Didn't they see the resurrection everywhere? Well, it was the popular ideas at their time, the philosophies of the Greek world, the Roman world, that had more impact on them. Yes, they kept their vocation. They kept what they did, offering those sacrifices and doing those rituals. But inside, the reason for it all had died away. And in its place, other information had taken over. That's a danger today. It's a problem for the church today. Instead of commitment, we see compromise. And that's because compromise is everywhere around us rather than commitment. Failure to commit causes some big problems in the world. It sure can in marriage, can it? When you marry somebody, you're committing yourself to them till the end of your life, until death parts you, till one partner dies. You're saying, with all that I am and everybody, everything everyone sees in me, my reputation, my honor, I pledge myself to you, my spouse. And I do this in the presence of the world and in the presence of God. But a change in that attitude, in that direction, causes great hardship and heartache all around. There is a lack of commitment sometimes in parenting. When we have these children and we hold them so dear when they're little, but you know, when they get in junior high and they start pulling some antics, sometimes we say, oh, it's just too much for us. They're going to have to raise themselves on their own. Woe to the parent who gives up raising God's child. And we all know at work there's all kinds of compromises that go on. The problem is, instead of that old adage, we've changed a little bit. You know the one that says, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Well, we've added something on to it. When the going gets tough, the tough get going somewhere else. Just move on to something else. That kind of attitude that we see so prevalent today, this lack of commitment, is so contrasted by our God. Our God is committed to us. For instance, that's one reason he gave us marriage. So you would have someone that you could commit yourself to, all that you are and all that you will be, is committed to that one other person. So you'd have someone you could trust in to be there supporting you. And also for the children, we really have to work hard to teach our children what marriage is about so that they can honor it as we would honor it. We have to teach them not to be intimate with people before they are married. Not only is this God's will, but failure will bring great emotional pain on them. And God's gift to marriage is so powerful, but it must be used as God gave it, in that promise and in that life of commitment between a man and a woman. Jesus said in our reading today that marriage was for this world. Now, I know that many couples can't conceive after having lived together for 20, 30, 50, 60 years together of not being together in the kingdom of heaven in the gift of marriage. And so they ask me, Pastor, how is that going to be? I've heard so many questions about this. Some people even thinking that we won't even know each other in the kingdom of heaven, that our identity would be erased or we would forget. Perhaps because they can't conceive of not being with those people they love in the same relationship they had here. Jesus simply says that marriage is for this world. He didn't say any more. And I get to thinking that it's God's gift to us, his care mediated to us through another person. But in the kingdom of heaven, we know that God is going to supply all of our needs directly, you know, not through means and not through other vessels. So perhaps it is simply because we will not need the gift of marriage and a family. Not that these people won't be around us and they won't be able to express our love and our thankfulness to them for their care and their commitment to us in this life, but God will be taking care of us directly. We can't even hardly conceive of that now in this world. Jesus really got to the heart of the problem of these Sadducees. You don't believe in a resurrection? Then you are no sons of Abraham. For God said to Moses at the burning bush, I am the God of the living, not of the dead. Your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, are living. They are with me. They are alive. Now that is commitment, that God always keeps his promises to us, even when we don't keep our promises to each other. The disciples of Jesus would see God's commitment when they saw him die. They had all given up hope. They had all left fearful of their own lives there at the crucifixion. The women even went to the tomb in that morning, that third morning, Easter morning, and you know what they expected to find? A dead body. And there they saw the Lord alive. The resurrection is real. All God's promises are real. Friends, I'd like to remind you this morning that your resurrection is real. Don't get weighed down by the problems you must face in this world, the disappointments, the failed commitments that you don't keep in your mind, the promise of that resurrection and what it will mean to you then. God is so committed to us that he gave Jesus to suffer and die in our place, because that is what he determined it took to free us from ourselves, from our past, from our sins, from our failures, and from our doubts. When we fail in our commitment to him, when we get distracted and fall away, he remains committed to us. He is loving and forgiving. But God does ask us to follow his commitment. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Not just let it go out the other ear, or read it in church and leave it here in that page in the worship folder, but to keep his word. We keep his word, and that means that we keep our word. If we say to someone, I will do this, then we should do it, because we want to honor the God who keeps his commitment to us. I tend to think of you veterans in this day, November 11th, the end of World War I, the 11th month, the 11th day, the 11th hour, they signed the armistice and all the fighting ceased. You know, if you served in the armed forces, whether in wartime or not, I have some honor for you, because I was never asked to do that and didn't volunteer. But we do appreciate the commitment of those people who serve our country, men and women, even today. Because someone's got to do that. And to keep their commitment to their country in this way is inspiring. But today I want you to think about the resurrection. What will matter about your earthly life then? The things that you hold important today, are they going to be important when God raises you from the dead? It's time to rethink that, to set our priorities in the right places, because the end is coming. It won't matter then really that much what you did for a living or what people thought of your job, whether you were in charge of many people or just yourself. It won't matter really where you lived in town or what your house looked like, what kind of neighborhood it was. Really won't even matter that much what your education was and how far you went in that system. Neither will the things that you accomplish professionally. What will matter is whether you remain committed to Jesus Christ and how you help people along the way. Help them to see the coming resurrection and to prepare for it. That's what our church is really all about, isn't it? Living today with an eye to the resurrection that Jesus is bringing. Helping people to see the connection between the two. And that faith, not in oneself and what we can accomplish or what we can impress other people with, for all things are really a gift from God, but what Christ has done for us. Recognizing that and being faithful to it day in and day out. Our church is committed to God's word. It's committed to the good news of the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, to reaching people. And I think in this congregation, especially reaching people through children, that is one of the directions that God has blessed our ministry. In your congregation, St. John is asking you to commit yourself to God through your church, to attend these services each week, as many of you do, to read the Bible each day, to study with other people in Bible classes or home devotions, to give offerings regularly, as often as God supplies you with a paycheck, to think about setting aside some of that as a thank offering to God. I hear the financial experts talk about things like, they say, these little gimmicks, they say, pay yourself first, you know. And that means, I think, that, you know, before you write out all your checks to your mortgage, pay somebody else for that, and for your auto loan and whatever else, that you pay yourself first. That is, you build up your savings for retirement or for your children's education, but you set aside something ahead of time for yourself before you just send all this money off someone else. I think that truth can be applied to us. We pay ourselves first by offering God a first fruit offering. For God has given us our life. We meet our true identity and who we are only in Him. And so by offering our gift to the Lord, we are being a blessing to ourselves and to others. So the people in the stewardship committee at our church, they have put a pledge form in your offering envelope, or your service folder today. And they ask you to talk to your family. Husbands and wives, think about your commitment to each other and to the Lord and who you are, your identity. Talk to your children about this, that they see how important this is for your family to make a commitment to God. Maybe you brought it today and you can bring it up in that offering, that second offering that'll be passed today. Or maybe you need some more time to talk about that. But think about it in this week to come. Commit yourself. Don't be like the rest of the world that says, oh, well, if I have time, if I have opportunity, I will do it. See the misery that is caused by non-committal attitude in our world. Are you going to remain faithful to Christ in His church? Are you going to do that as end your intent for the rest of your life? Then it's no problem. Just live in that commitment. Always looking to God's commitment to you. That is where your power and strength will come from. That in heaven one day you will be thankful that you did so, because you recognize that God was committed to you, and He proved that by His dying and His rising again. You can be proud of how He led you to follow Him. In the name of Jesus, amen.